That's the number one thing you have to do, is to work on yourself.
What if nothing's holy and everything's allowed?
Because the truth is, you are enough.
I now always go with the heart.
There has to be a better way.
Tell yourself true things about God, not about yourself. God's word has to be your filter, your lens through which you see your emotional responses.
There is a better way. And now your host of The Better Way, this is Libby Glosson.
Who else that grew up in the 80s and 90s just sang that at the top of your lungs? Come on, be honest. I'll admit it if you won't. I know, I'm showing my age. But freedom. Are you wishing for a little freedom today? Do you want to be free, my friends? Maybe you're in a relationship that's got you feeling trapped. Maybe you're in a job you hate. Maybe you just can't seem to stop that behavior that keeps tripping you up. Maybe you just want to be free from your own mind and thoughts. If you want to be set free today, you've come to the right place because I've got answers. And for only $19.99, I'll send you the 5 easy steps to freedom. Just kidding. Just kidding. Y'all know me better than that by now. Seriously, freedom. I know you want it because I do too. Before we came to Christ, that desire for freedom, it was more like a desire to do what we want to do when we want to do it. And you know that feeling when you sat behind the wheel of your first car and you realized you could take yourself where you want to go. And maybe, just maybe, that offer of freedom is what first drew you to church, to God in the first place. So you were struggling with a sin issue or an intrusive thought pattern or an addiction, and someone somewhere told you that Jesus wants to set you free. Because in the Christian world, we get fed a bunch of promises of freedom from bondage and freedom from strongholds, freedom from fears. I think there's about 1,000 Christian songs out there on this topic. And listen, I'm not going to sing these lyrics for you because believe me, you do not want to hear that. What I need to do is get my daughter-in-law in here to sing for you because she's the one with the voice. But songs I'm talking about are the ones that include words and phrases like, death was arrested and my life began. Or saved out of the enemy's plans for me, I have freedom. Thank you, Jesus, I am free. Or the one we all know, there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. And people and churches and worship bands sing these songs at the top of their lungs. But my goodness, there's a lot of wrong information out there. Because I've got a question. What kind of freedom are we talking about here? Does God promise us freedom? Yes, absolutely he does. But freedom from what? What chains are we breaking and who's doing the chain breaking? And how come it doesn't seem to be working? There's this message out there in the Christian world. It's so prevalent. It's this message of freedom from bondage and these promises of broken chains. I mean, there's books and blogs and podcasts out there by the metric ton that advertise break every chain, 25 strongholds and how to defeat them, and 30 days to overcoming emotional strongholds. What we've done is turn Jesus into some sort of a guy on a rescue mission or a secret op to break us out of prison. We've ended up with a distorted message, really a distorted gospel and a distorted idea of what freedom Jesus is talking about in John 8:32, when he says, and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Now, why am I ranting and raving about this today? Because I love you and you need to know the truth. You need to know a better way to think about freedom from a biblical perspective so that you don't get caught in the trap of thinking that God's promised something he hasn't. The way the church is presenting freedom these days, oh gosh, it puts so much pressure on us and it really puts the power in our own personal effort. We've got to pray the right words or claim the right things. And it makes it all about us and our willpower and our own ability to make something come true just because we have enough faith. Many times when I'm counseling a woman, it's quickly clear that she's believed a promise that's not in the Bible. It's not something God has promised. So when that thing, air quotes, doesn't happen, when that stronghold, another air quotes, isn't broken, she's very discouraged and disappointed and sometimes more often disillusioned in her understanding of God. And all that does is result in more weight to bear, more shame, more guilt, more feelings of inadequacy, because evidently I didn't do it right if I'm still struggling with this thing. If I fail to break free, it's on me. So I'll ask you this, is this you today? Did you have the expectation of some kind of instant solution? And when that instant solution didn't magically appear, now you're frustrated and deflated. Listen, it is not by sheer determination or manipulation tactics that you're going to experience biblical freedom. Here's the great news. The freedom that Scripture talks about, the freedom that God actually does promise, is so much better than all the wrong messages out there. God's grace is so much sweeter when you understand not only what he's setting you free from, but what he's setting you free to. Okay, so first, let's get the world's definition of freedom out of the way. We're not talking about freedom like our culture does, which is just basically the ability to do what you want. So that's an easy one. Alrighty, so now to the Bible. I'm going to ask you to brace yourself because I'm about to say something really controversial from a secular perspective, but I want you to listen. Freedom in the Bible is actually found in slavery. Wait, what? Wait, don't turn out, tune out. Don't turn off the episode. I promise, this is actually the best news ever. Hang in there with me. Here's the reality. We are all slaves of something. If you're not a believer, if you've never come to saving faith, you're a slave to sin. I'm going to let you in my brain for 1 second. And so I'm going to ask you to prepare yourself for about 30 seconds of Bible nerdery. Let's talk for a second about Augustine of Hippo. Old dead guy, theologian. He proposed 4 states of man that are actually really helpful as we think about this. And they're biblical too. So the first state of man is before the fall, when Adam and Eve were in the garden walking with God and they're still innocent. They were able to sin, but they hadn't sinned yet. Then the second state of man happened after the fall. So Adam and Eve, they lost the ability to do what was pleasing to God. So now they are not able not to sin. And that is the reality of our slavery to sin without Christ. We are not able not to sin. That was passed down to us from Adam. We cannot, without Christ, choose not to sin. But here's the great news. The third state of man that Augustine talks about is after regeneration, when we've been made new and brought from death to life, we are able not to sin. So before Christ, we are not able to not to sin, slaves to sin. Now we are able not to sin, which is just a simple way to say we can obey. We can do what God calls us to do. We have that ability because we've been made into new creations. And then just so that you have the full picture, the fourth state of man that Augustine talks about is in the glorified state. When we're in eternity, we are unable to sin. We have no ability to sin anymore because, as we know, the Bible tells us there's no sin in the new heaven and new earth in eternity. So that's the great news. The Bible defines freedom as the liberation from sin, but the slavery to God through Christ at the same time. This freedom is not a license to sin, to keep sinning, but it's the freedom to be able to pursue Christ, to pursue holiness, to obey what the Bible says. We're free from the law. We are free from the power of sin, from the penalty of sin, from the dominion of sin. And now we are slaves to righteousness. So I'm not making this up. As you know, let's go to Scripture. This is not my thoughts. This is what the Bible says. If you've got your Bible, please turn to Romans 6:15. We're going to go from verse 15 to verse 22, and you're going to see the word slaves 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. 8 times in these few verses. Okay, so starting in verse 15. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? See right there, scripture tells us we're slaves to one or the other, sin or righteousness. Verse 17, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members, your body, your mind, as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification. Now, for the sake of time, go down to verse 22 with me. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. Okay, I know what you're thinking, because I'm thinking it too. How can we be set free and slaves at the same time? Simultaneously, this is what the Bible is telling us. How can we find freedom in being moved from slaves that we were to the slaves that we are? We're going to address that when we come back from the break.
And we'll be back with more from Libby Glossin and The Better Way in just a moment. And I love how she's been talking about what true freedom in Christ really means. You know what would be a great companion with what she's teaching today? Now, when you first hear me recommend what I'm about to recommend, it might not hit you the way I think it should. I'm talking about Don't Stub Your Toe. It's a gospel booklet that's available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org, and it dives deep into understanding our identity in Christ and what it means to live in the freedom that He provides. It's not just a Christian self-help book, but it's a biblical exploration of who we are in Christ and how that transforms every aspect of our lives. You can pick up a copy of Don't Stub Your Toe right now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And speaking of transformation, if you haven't downloaded the Fortis Plus app yet, it's completely free. You'll get access to hundreds of hours of content, just like this episode of The Better Way, teaching that daily will help you understand and apply God's Word to your daily life. Every single day, we're adding new content, 7 pieces of new content, as a matter of fact, that will help you grow in your walk with Christ. Just go to FortisPlus.org or search for Fortis Plus in your app store and download it right now. It is free. Listen, what Libby is sharing about true biblical freedom, it's exactly why we do what we do here at Fortis Institute. We've been committed to helping believers understand and live out God's word in a world that is a very different definition of freedom. And we can't do it without partners like you. Your support is what helps us continue producing content that points people to the true freedom found only in Jesus Christ. If you've been blessed by this teaching, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And I want to be clear, please be faithful to giving to your local church first and not be strapped by any type of unmanaged debt. If those are areas of your life that are not exactly where you want them to be, work on those first. That's biblical, okay? Don't be a slave to the lender. Give faithfully to your local church. And then when you get those areas taken care of, then start praying about what it would look like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, because it's your support that helps us reach more people with these vital biblical truths. You can join us as a gospel partner by visiting fortisinstitute.org right now and getting answers to any questions you could have. fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Libby Glossin. This is The Better Way. Welcome back to The Better Way. Now, let's turn down the world's noise and get back to The Better Way with Libby Glossin.
Hey, welcome back. So before the break, we were talking about freedom, biblical freedom, and what God sets us free from and what He sets us free to. We read Romans 6, 15 through 22, and saw that the Bible tells us that we're all slaves of something. Without Christ, we're slaves to sin. And with Christ, we're slaves to righteousness, which just means in Christ, we're able not to sin. We are free. We have freedom to obey, to pursue holiness, to walk in a manner that's worthy of the gospel. So before I proceed, I just wanted to make a quick comment because I am fully aware of the overtones and the negative imagery that's linked to this word slave or slavery. It is an absolutely disgusting, horrific mark on American history, the slave trade of the colonial times. I totally understand that. And it's awful. It's just a mark on our history. So I want you to understand that I'm in no way condoning that type of slavery or saying that the Bible in any way says that that type of slavery is okay in any manner. So before we proceed, I just wanted to make that clear. And this is just more reason why we've got to understand the historical context of Scripture, what the Bible is talking about, who it was originally written to, who was receiving these words, and what the historical and cultural context was in which it was written. It's very important. So this word slave, in the original language, the word is doulos. It's a Greek word for slave, and it has one meaning, one literal translation, and that is slave. And this word is the way that guys like James and Peter and Paul and Timothy and John, they all introduce themselves like this. For example, James 1:1, James says, James, a slave or doulos of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Peter does the same thing in 2 Peter 1:1. He introduces himself as Simon Peter, a slave, doulos, an apostle of Jesus Christ. So over and over and over again, we see slave of Christ, slave of Christ. And as we move forward in church history, when the early Christian martyrs were captured by the Romans and they questioned them in the courts, the Romans would ask questions like, "What is your name?" And the early Christian martyrs would say, "I am a slave of Christ." The Romans would ask, "Who are you?" They would say, "I'm a slave of Christ." So this one phrase summed up everything about them. It wasn't like a title they picked up when they became Christians. It was really a new way of thinking about themselves, about God, and about their purpose. So as we move forward and look to the biblical word slave, we've got to understand what was going on in the society. And it's helpful to understand why Jesus himself chose certain illustrations or parables or contexts to help people understand his message. So these were people who understood slavery in this capacity. First of all, the Israelites had been in slavery to the Egyptians. And now in the New Testament, they're talking about slavery in light of the way it functioned within the Roman culture. The sole job of every slave was to do whatever the master said to do. Slaves were property. They didn't have any rights. They couldn't own land. This sounds awful and oppressive, right? But it was the primary way that Jesus taught about the reality of the relationship between God and his people. Now, before you put your dukes up and get defensive, listen, this is a good thing because with the concept of doulos, we have on the flip side of the same coin, every slave has a what? A master, right? You can't be called a slave without having a master, and you can't be called a master without having a slave. So the Greek word for master is kurios. It means lord, master, the possessor of a thing. And this is what was going on in the first, second, and third centuries. So in regards to their slaves, masters had exclusive ownership. The slaves were bought at a price. The slaves couldn't serve two masters. They were the possession of their master, but then the masters had a responsibility too. The masters had to provide for the needs of their slaves. They had to provide food and shelter and all the basic necessities for their slaves. Now, given, we know this is a given, people are people. They're sinful. So there's all kinds of stories about cruel and abusive slave owners, but in reality, in the ancient times, there was lots of masters that were kind and benevolent. They sometimes even made slaves part of their families. So we've got this two-sided coin, right? Doulos, the slave side, and kurios, the master side. Two sides of the same coin. So let's apply this in regards to the section that we just read in Romans. So Romans 6 tells us that if we don't have Christ, sin is our master. Remember, reality of life without Christ, sin is our master. We are not able not to sin. And guess what sin as master provides? Empty lies, promises of happiness and satisfaction that are never delivered. And sin as master rewards its slaves with misery and destruction and condemnation. This is like the worst master imaginable, right? Sin's goal is to corrupt whoever's enslaved to it. And this is through our thoughts and our behaviors and our relationships and our affections and our desires. But there's good news. There's hope. We just read that in Romans 6, because now with Christ, we have the ability to say yes to God. Without Christ, just like slavery in the colonial times, we can't make ourselves free. We're powerless to free ourselves from the enslavement to sin. We can't redeem ourselves. We got to be bought by another. And the price is so high, my friends. The cost of sin, the wages of sin is death. That, by the way, is the verse at the end of what we read, Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. There's ransom money that's got to be paid. Somebody's got to pay to transfer us out of slavery to sin. Guess who did that on our behalf? For all the elect, for all those that God has predestined to be in him, Christ paid the price. He was the ransom in human flesh. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed. When we recognize what our master did to buy us out of slavery to sin, ladies, when you recognize the sacrifice he made so that you could be set free, you could have freedom from sin, because that, by the way, is what your freedom is from. We then understand the honor and the benefit that it is to be slaves to Christ, to be slaves to a righteous master. So this is the key right here to grasping the importance of not only recognizing Jesus as your savior, but more important, as your Lord and your master. The lordship of Christ is a concept that gets pushed to the side a lot in our current Christian culture, because we want Jesus to save us, to rescue us, to be our personal savior. We talked about that at the beginning. We think of him like he's on this rescue mission, but we are unwilling to call him Lord of our life, because that would mean giving up all of our rights. But what does Galatians 2:20 say? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's not popular in our world today, because we're fine with Jesus the rescuer, but Jesus the owner, the master, and me the slave? No way, Jose. Listen, ladies, this is where we find true freedom, when Christ is not only our savior, but our Lord. This is where the true freedom comes from that you are looking for. Because to call Jesus master, to call him Lord, means you get a master that is kind, gracious, perfectly loving, wise, able to provide for every need. And he does that because he's unchanging. He's holy. He's perfect. He's trustworthy. He's faithful. To be a slave to this master, to Christ, means that we have certain and definite hope and freedom, because we're not only gaining perfect position or provision, we're also getting perfect position in Christ. We are with Christ as our master. We're truly free, not to do whatever we want, like we talked about before, but we're truly free to say yes to God and no to sin. God willingly purchased you out of the slave block of sin and transferred you into righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. Now, here's the even better news. God doesn't stop there. In true God fashion, he calls us not only his slaves, but his friends. We're citizens of his kingdom, sons and daughters. We're adopted children, ladies, into his family. We're joint heirs with Christ. Where we were once his enemies, we're now his friends, says John 15:14 through 15, if we do what he commands. So let me ask you this. Check your heart right now. Do you need a new master? Are you walking around enslaved to sin? Do you want to experience what true freedom in Christ really is? Well, today's the day. Today is the day to go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to renew your heart, repent of your sins, and believe in Christ Jesus. And if you already are a believer, you know that you are, but you're still feeling like you're walking around in bondage, prayer's the answer for you too. Ask God to help you live out the freedom that is your reality as a slave to Christ. And now that you know a better way to think about freedom and about slavery, put it into practice for your good and God's glory.
This has been The Better Way with Libby Glosson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed The Better Way with Libby Glosson, would you consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? And also, would you consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.